ask you about Ray McDonald. He's got the background, obviously. I mean, right. What's your feelings of
him? Well, I think, you know, his name came up very early in the process, I think probably a day after Vic Fangio was hired. So, you know, it's not a snap decision by any stretch. A lot of research in all areas of Ray McDonald, like most players. You know, there's a lot goes into the evaluation process. No different with him. I think, obviously, any off-the-field issues, we take very serious. They do happen. As much as you like to keep them out of your building, you coach against it just like you do on the field. We felt strong about him, especially leaned heavily on 4 years of the relationship that Donatell and Vic Fangio have with him. And I think Ray understands we have a standard. He's going to need to meet that standard moving forward, much like all the players that we'll acquire moving forward.
Any surprise that George said no right away? Did he change his tune on him?
Well, I think I had a lot of respect for the fact that the young man wanted to come in and meet with ownership after he was told no. Flew in on his own dime. George said yes, that he would be willing to talk with him. And probably much like people that have spent a lot of time with him, felt a little more comfortable moving forward.
John, what specifically did you hear from Vic that made you feel better?
Well, just, I think some of the issues that occurred, quite frankly, shocked his teammates and him. The fact that he was a great teammate, he thought he was one of the leaders on the defense, he and Justin Smith. His teammates thought very highly of him, and you're around your teammates a lot in this business. And the fact that he was a good, physical, tough football player. But we were more concerned with some other areas that, we deemed well enough to sign him.
In the bigger picture, when you come into a team and you're looking to build not only the on-the-field product, but the type of locker room environment that obviously is going to lead to winning, what are some of the important things you have to consider when you're adding players, whether it's Ray, Contrell Roll, and how important is that in that process?
Well, to me, the cornerstone really at any success is really hard work and doing it enthusiastically. And it's a hard profession. I know a lot's made of player salaries and whatnot, but having been in this thing for a little bit, they earn every penny. It's a tough way to earn a living. You're under a lot of scrutiny, really on a daily basis. We spent a whole lot of time on what was reviewable and what wasn't, all right, in these meetings. And really, in this game, everything's reviewable. You guys review it, it gets reviewed. I think it makes it what a great game it is. The guy that's the same guy every day, comes to work with his lunch pail, works hard, it's contagious. And when you can get that percentage up higher, you've got your chance of winning your share of games in this league.
Is that what you see in particular with Ontrell, the guy who can
I think, leadership is important. There's kind of a 10-80-10 percentage on a football team, and, there's 10% of guys who are doing it right all the time. The key, though, is to get that 10 to go down and get a big majority of that 80 or the 80 to see it being done right so they can climb up to the 10. So we think he's in that 10 and has that ability, has done it before. And I've seen him even at the Pro Bowl, show leadership, which sometimes even in that game you need it.
Coach, anything more definitive on Cutler? Is he your quarterback in 2015?
Well, I'd say, logically, if you're looking at a depth chart and you're asking me for it, 2 weeks before we can really get anything going, I'd say he'd be first on the depth chart, yeah.
The guys you've brought in, there's a lot of veterans on this team. Are a lot of good proven veterans going to lose jobs?
It's hard to say, John, this soon. I think, we have a board. People made a little bit of my 4-second delay when asked about our defensive end situation, and all I had in my brain was these green little rectangles that were taking the names of names. So that was for the pause. But no excuses. But, I think we're piecing it together. There's still a lot of work to be done in free agency. Ryan, myself, have seen, a lot of good players, a lot of starters added even after the league meeting. So There's a lot of good football players out there that are still signable. We'll continue to evaluate that as we move forward. And then, of course, you know, we'll be in pretty heavy preparations for the draft, you know, in the coming month.
If you got to meet.
Your background's on defense. You've been decades on defense. How long will it take to get this defense playing winning football?
You know, that's a great question. I actually got it from our board of directors a couple of weeks ago. You know, really, it's hard to predict. You know, I'm kind of a guy that rather understate, overproduce. I think it'll be sooner than later. You know, and I can't wait to get on the field and start, you know, trying to fix and get better at it.
What's the key? Because the cupboards weren't overflowing.
You know, Brad, I think, you know, when you come into a situation, obviously, in a lot of cases, they haven't had success. That's why you're there. You know, you get different opinions, you know, in your research, either through players or through people in the building, you know, tends to be a little over negative, as you might expect. The experience I've had is, you know, I've had a couple guys that were told to me that were not great guys. They both ended up being captains. So, you know, I hate to judge too much without really building my own relationship with individual players.
Do you guy like Jared Allen, when you do finally get on the grass, what do you zone in on to measure what he still has left and how?
Well, I think, you know, physically he had a rough year last year. I think in particular for big guys that, or really any position, your weight, your strength level, all those things physically have a lot to do with how you perform on Sundays. I think in his case, you know, he got pneumonia, you know, lost 19, 20 pounds. And like in the middle of a marathon, I think that's hard to recover from. You know, that's an analogy I use for a football season. So, you know, I don't know that it was his best season. I think there were reasons, not excuses. You know, I talked to him briefly out here. He lives out here. So it's good to touch base and, you know, air and share some ideas. But, you know, he'll get that opportunity to compete. And I think, you know, again, he could be one of those guys that can make a big jump.
When you guys decided that Ray might be a good fit, you and Ryan decided that one. Did you give any pause to what maybe the reaction might be because the two of you guys are new in the market and because he's controversial?
You know, I mean, of course. You know, I think, you know, anytime you acquire somebody or you make a decision, whether it's fourth down or maybe a player that might be perceived with questionable character, you know, I mean, you're going to get, we get criticized on everything. And we know it comes with the territory. So, you know, my experience has been that's not the reason you do or don't want to make decisions on what tomorrow's headlines are. So we spent a lot of time, and we'll be judged by it moving forward.
What about Jarvis Jenkins? A lot of people, Ray McDonald's got all the headlines. Signed another guy that's been a starter yesterday.
Again, you know, I think most people consider this late in free agency. You know, a lot of times, you know, people you take that maybe aren't the big splash when you take them become the big splash when you start playing. So, at the end of the day, they're all going to get an opportunity to compete and try to build as much competition within your team as possible. And you compete hard as heck every day.
John, when you're looking at these 3-4 ends to play in the base, a guy like Jarvis, who has not been a prolific pass rusher or at least doesn't have the sacks, do you weigh more heavily the run-stopping ability? Because, as you guys have talked about, you're in sub-packages more, and you've got guys like Jared and Willie who could fill in as DNs when sub is on the field.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard because the Chicago Bear defense was a 4-3 defense a year ago. You know, watched these guys, obviously, you know, every play they played on tape. But now trying to project them into a 3-4, not having ever coached them on the field before, you know, I know you guys probably think I dodged the evaluation thing, but it's, you know, it's really a lot of wait and see. And there are guys that we saw, they have strengths and weaknesses in our book. But until you're in those meeting rooms with them, you know, 8 hours a day and watching them perform, you know, either in the weight room or on the grass, you know, I think the good news is sometimes when you come in new, there's new light. So, you know, guys don't have preconceived ideas on them. And so, you know, you start from scratch. And that's the exciting thing about coming in new somewhere, both for players and coaches.
Along those lines, you've obviously heard stuff about Jay. will you, you know how you're going to handle it, how you're going to handle him, or are you going to kind of let this thing come to you and just almost play it by ear?
Well, just like every player, I mean, I'm going to watch him on the field, look at all the practice tape. Obviously, we're judged by how we perform on Sundays. We're in a production-based business. You know, I haven't had one of those experiences yet. So I can tell you those things will occur. And like every position, you know, how you practice usually leads to how you play and perform. And we'll evaluate that at every position as we move forward.
From your personal interactions with him, if you maybe discover that he's a bit different than his natural or national perceptions of him of being, you know, kind of bitter.
You know, I think really, you know, this thing's all about, you know, relationships, you know, personalities, different walks of life, different parts of the country. You know, you're dealing with a bunch of individuals and you're trying to make them a team. And so you're going to hit and come across a variety of personalities. And I'm just now, you know, getting to know that. I mean, I have my head in the closet somewhere, all right? But again, much like I was saying before about when you come in even with all your players in a new organization, you hear all kind of stuff, but you just file it but you know, give guys the benefit of the doubt and let them earn that with me personally.
What did you make of some of it? Like Kyle Long, after you voiced your support for Cutler, saying he's the starter, he voiced his support for Cutler. A lot of guys back Cutler. Did you make anything out of that? Like certain teammates going as
Yeah, that didn't shock me, but you know, I think that bond is what you build, you know, like I said, in a very competitive business. A lot of times it's, you know, you know, mindful of how you finish the game. I mean, this game's about events, all right, then how you respond, and that equals your outcome. And that happens in games, it happens in weeks of practice, it happens in a season, but it's building that mental toughness to push through. I mean, you look at teams around the league every year, everybody gets knocked down. You know, so now how do you respond? So that's individually, that's as a unit, that's as a football team. And that's what we're here to build.
As a coaching professional getting almost too unrealistic with expectations, I mean, you're 13-3, 12-4. It's not just winning anymore. You have to win the last one.
Well, I think, you know, I think that's everybody's goal. Either the fortunate or unfortunate part is, you know, there's only one. You know, I've been blessed to be in the tournament plenty of times, even in the final game 3 times. But I haven't won one. So you could say that's an unsuccessful career if you want. You could put all kind of labels on it. But, you know, I think I'd be surprised, maybe disappointed if, you know, everybody at this table today or yesterday, that's not their goal. So the reality is we're in a business. You know, I'm in it for the love of the game. I have a passion to do what I'm doing, and when they run me out of here, I'll be run out of here.
Being a people person like you are, when you have separations like you had in Carolina, like you had in Denver, does this impact you? Does this bother you?
You know, I mean, I'd say they bother you a little bit, but just because of your family. You know, I had pretty good ideas of what I was signing up for. You know, I don't know how many years ago now, 10 in college, and then going on 27 in this league. You know, so you know, it's like 17 moves later. I'd say, does that bother you? That might be a better question for my wife and kids. Yeah. But you just learn to go. There's a business side of this, and there's a football side of it. I love the football side of it. The business side is not my favorite part, whether dealing with players, assistant coaches, salaries. I mean, all this is, you know, the big business. But, you know, I talk to and have great friends in both those other organizations. So, you know, it's just business.
Coach, Pernell McPhee is the latest Ravens defender that signed a big contract elsewhere.
And they'll get compensated for later.
Yes.
I think we saw that yesterday.
Some of those guys worked out with their new teams. A lot of them haven't. How much did you evaluate Pernell versus scheme? Because a lot of the defenders, you know, succeed in that Ravens defense.
Well, I think there's no doubt, you know, everybody's made of – a lot's made of single performances, whether it's the quarterback position, the D-line position. There's no doubt, I don't care what side of the ball or what phase in the game, your supporting cast is pretty key. That's why they call it the ultimate team game. So, you know, I think Ozzie and his staff have done a tremendous job, have for years. I can't remember how many Executive of the Year awards he's won. And again, he'll tell you it's a team of people too, you know, in their building. But they've done a phenomenal job, and you can't keep everybody. The rules of the game don't allow you to. So, obviously, they've done a tremendous job of evaluating and developing young players.
You mentioned before that the depth chart is just starting. Does that imply you had Jimmy Clausen on?
Yes.
You re-signed him. Yeah. Does that imply quarterback in your opinion? The scenario that you should be in competition for him?
You know, I think, you know, it's funny, everybody, it's all an open competition. You know, obviously you've got to start somewhere. You know, and in my experience in football and really in anything, it's not where you start the race, it's where you finish it. But we have to start the race with some kind of lineup. And, you know, we have not discussed that at depth. We've not presented it to our players yet. I think it's important for them to see it, maybe before you guys. You know, I mean, I kind of have it in my brain. And then they compete. You know, I've had guys that were third on the depth chart that by the time we started the opener were first. So, you know, I can't tell you what's happening. If I could, I'd be at some racetrack somewhere. So,
what struck you about last year's team when you watched them on TV?
You know, even that evaluation, I don't really like sharing with everybody. Yeah, I think they started, I think, better than they finished. You know, it just never really clicked, I'd say. Again, football is about complementing how you play the game. You know, it's something I think we'll try to teach and have understood. But I'll leave it at that.
Coach, can you talk about working with Jack Del Rio and kind of what the coordinators are getting with him as the head man?
I think, you know, first of all, I'll go back to just Denver. I mean, not one guy does it. So I had a tremendous staff. Jack was a part of that staff. You know, I think more times than not, we're a top five defense in our stay there. I also had Jack really plucked him from the Baltimore Ravens way back when he was a linebacker coach. Gave him his first coordinator job at the Carolina Panthers. You know, I think at that time we were going into the season, we were 31st in the league in defense. That was only because there was only 31 teams. That's still last. And we went to second that season. So, I think he's a tremendous coach, tremendous person. Wish him nothing but the best.
He talked about his experience in Denver being rejuvenating in some way after being a head coach in Jacksonville for so long. Did you see that over the course of 3 years where he got really excited?
Yeah, I think, you know, probably one of the things you miss most about being a head coach and not being a coordinator on one side of the ball, you know, is the day-to-day meeting time relationship you build with the players. I mean, the head coach gets the team, albeit brief, because you've got a lot of other things football-wise to get installed and taught. You know, I can understand that. I mean, he can answer that obviously better than I could, but I thought, you know, some guys can make that transition better than others. I'm talking about guys who've been a head coach, go back to being a coordinator. And I thought Jack did a tremendous job.
What did you think of Kyle Fuller last season, and how can his skill set apply to what you guys are going to ask the corners to do?
Well, he definitely fits. You know, being part of the evaluation just a year ago, you know, for my former team, we had him, held him in high regard, thought he was an outstanding football player, you know, both you know, the way he played instinctually as well as the physical skills. You know, I saw a guy that he improved as the season went on. I think it's a big leap, especially that position. The passing game's a little bit more precise, I think, at our level. But, you know, he's a guy we're excited about, have a good grade on, and look forward to working with him moving forward.
What do you think of the Packers?
I've known Mike McCarthy for a long time. They've done a tremendous job. Obviously, they've done a good job in our division, you know, so, you know, they're where they are, and we've got to catch up quick.
Kind of. Do you need to target a quarterback in the draft?
We're going to target anybody that makes us better in the draft. You know, I think Ryan has the approach, which I'm on board with, is taking the best available player. And, you know, we're sitting there at number seven. I'm not sure what can happen with that, upper back, stay. Again, that's a fluid process. But we'll look at, you know, the best available player. I think the quarterback position is a unique position. Been places where we took one just about every year, whether it was a college free agent or late in the draft, early in the draft, middle of the draft. So much like all positions, you know, we're going to do what we deem is going to, in our opinion, make us better.
If that happens to be Mariota at that time, and he's available at seven, he's number one. Ryan says he likes him. What do you make of him?
And I'll be honest with you, I've looked at it a little bit. I've been more on the defensive side right now, understanding this evaluation process in the draft. You know, our first exposure typically, you know, is at the combine. You know, we've been fairly busy as a coaching staff in free agency. Guys are making the transition. You know, being the head coach, looking at all the phases, you know, I'm not quite caught up to them yet, but, you know, it's always interesting, and I've heard nothing but great things about him. I know some inside stuff as far as the type of person and character he has, and all of it's been very impressive.
John, from your leadership standpoint, when you get a team, what is the first step you do to instill confidence in a group that's been?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, unless you have success, it's hard to have confidence. I mean, something good's got to happen, you know, to have that confidence. You know, I've always started with practice. I call them mini games. Try to structure them that way, put them, you know, this is all about what to do, how to do it, and do it under pressure. I mean, that's what we do. And putting players in those situations, you know, typically they're going to have success in practice, and then that carries over to the game. You know, that's kind of what you're trying to build.
Was there a common thread in Carolina and Denver in the turnarounds there?
Yeah, they're all NFL football teams, you know, and not all the same organizationally, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of the same thing, different city.
Morning, John.
What are you doing there, Peter?
How
you been, man?
Yeah.
Good to see you.
I wanted to ask you, there's been so much in Chicago and sort of around the country, so much said about Jay Cutler, mm-hmm. and his future,
right.
his ability to lead, all that other stuff. How do you approach Cutler? How do you approach trying to fix sort of what went wrong in the last few years with him as a player?
Well, I think, you know, like any player, all right, you get the opportunity to meet. We're a little structured right now in that we can't meet, you know, football-wise. But April 13th, we get a chance to watch guys work in a weightlifting, conditioning setting, plus in meetings. I had the question earlier, you know, I think maybe he got to a point where he lacked confidence a year ago, is to build that back up, you know, and it's going to take time daily. So it takes trust like any relationship. I think he and Adam Gase have a relationship from back in Denver. You know, so I think it starts there. Football-wise, you know, there are things you can do in coaching to minimize some of the exposure. You know, playing defense, I think just playing complementary football is going to be something that's helped. You know, I liken it a little bit, and not being critical, but, you know, kind of Tony Romo. I think, you know, there have been different things said, and I know Tony personally. He's a tremendous competitor. You know, I thought he had one of his better seasons a year ago, you know, with that same kind of build-up. And I think, you know, with success comes confidence.
What are your biggest concerns for Cutler as a starting? What are your biggest concerns for Cutler as a starting?
Yeah, I have concerns with everybody. Whoever we name as a starter, every position. That's the exciting part about coming in new, getting to know that. So, I mean, I don't want to just single him out. I have concerns, you know, with really everybody we're going to line up as a starter.
You mentioned Adam Blake. What are the strengths he brings? Obviously, you're married with him in the way he ran that offense.
You know, I think he's a very smart coach, creative coach. Like all teachers have an ability to communicate to others. You know, those are pretty good starts.
Did you have a sense for his January was a little bit different, obviously, the interview group?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I think, you know, going back to the earlier question about staff, you know, Jack Del Rio, now the head coach in Oakland, Adam had opportunities. He had opportunities a year ago. My 4 years in Denver, Mike McCoy went on, Dennis Allen went on. So when you have success, you get opportunities. And so Adam's a young coach. He'll have plenty of opportunities. As I tell a lot of young guys, it's not just getting one of these, it's getting the right one. So we'll see what happens going forward. But, you have to have success, and you get rewarded by success, with those opportunities.
John, was it just the lack of success last year offensively that you think caused Cutler's confidence to dip? Like you said, the previous year, he had a really good year.
It's really, everything, like I said before, I'm not going to be critical of last year. I wasn't here last year. I don't purely know what happened because I wasn't here. I had my own problems. He'll be evaluated and we're building that. You file things, but I know this, that unless something good happens, it's hard to have confidence. And so, our job is going to be building that confidence up and hopefully make some good things happen and you can gain confidence moving forward.
John, what is it like for a career defensive coach to get a chance to coach the Chicago Bears, which have such a great history of defense?
It's awesome, actually. I mean, I've been blessed to be with two storied franchises, but not the charter franchise, where the NFC Championship trophy is named after the guy. So from Monsters of the Midway, and it's been a long time, but I remember the 85 Bears. In fact, I was in Old Hallis Hall, the one on campus there in Lake Forest, a long time ago as a young college coach trying to learn more about defense. So it's been
where
a while.
Were you then?
I was University of Pittsburgh, yeah. So, Mike Ditka's got a Aliquippa, Pennsylvania background. So there was a connection there, and I knew a couple guys on the staff. But, I think it's real exciting. And the fans there are hungry. They got tremendous tradition. You just walk around our building, and, it's a who's who of historical football. But anyways, going to those other, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants, similar type of atmospheres in that building. But I was reminded, those are storied, and they wouldn't mind being in that company, but they were still the first.
John, I apologize. Hey, good luck,
John. All right, thank you, Peter.
Yeah, John, I apologize if he's been asked this already, and I know you weren't here last year, but what went into the organization's decision to trade Brandon Marshall?
I think, again, having a couple of personal meetings, very impressed with Brandon. I think it was a trade that was beneficial to both sides. So we executed.
John, what type of player are the Colts getting in Nate Irvin?
Nate, unfortunately, he was in a contract year. He did have a knee injury. He was a guy that I talked to, we talked to. And I think they're going to get a good young football player. He's a good teammate. It'll be good in their building.
John, you said the Brandon trade was beneficial to both sides. Mm-hmm. How does it benefit the Colts?
Well, we got a fifth-round pick. We are trying to acquire picks. We were a pick short in our draft. Gave back a seventh. How you want to do the math? My simple mind, I'd say it's a sixth. But I think it just it fit us at the time, based on where we were, and I think it helped him in his career.
Were there considerations of his behavior in the locker room, that sort of stuff?
I wasn't in the locker room, so I don't know that. If anything that happened a year ago, it's pure hearsay. I had great visits with him, two face-to-faces that I really respect and enjoy the visits with him and wish him nothing but the best.
John, how are you handling things with Kyle Long as far as him moving tackle guard, and how much of the process is his choice of which of the two he preferred?
Well, I think, we're, again, getting guys out there, and that position is probably more critical of the communication, how they work together, how they make their calls. There's so much communication that goes on. Going into games, you have seven linemen, and you have to be prepared for all different kind of scenarios. So Dave Magazoo, our O-line coach, Adam Gase, you have to practice those scenarios. So there'll be times where a guy has position flex, whether it's right tackle, left tackle. You have to get practice in those spots. So some of that, is just going to be evaluated in practice. Again, new to this team, and there was guys moved around a lot last year due to injury. In some cases, that's a good thing because there's a feel. We just know he's a dominant lineman, regardless of where we line him up. He's a tremendous young player, as good as there is in the league.
You mentioned right tackle, left tackle. You mentioned guard. Is he a tackle?
No. I'm saying as any offensive line position. All right, when you go into a game, you know, the league doesn't let us suit up everybody. All right, so you have to be prepared. You know, I've been in games where we had to put a tight end at tackle. I mean, it just happens. That was up for discussion in the league meetings as far as jersey numbers. You know, really, I'm not answering your question because he'll play all over the place is what I'm trying to say.
John, it's a pretty easy popular thing to do right now to be negative about Jay Cutler. If you're going to focus on the positive, where does that begin?
Well, I think, you know, I've seen him have success, albeit maybe not super recent, but in spurts and sections of his career and in games, he's had success. And now, like anybody, it's becoming more consistent with that success. So, you know, that's about as simple as you can be, but it's about as truthful as you can be.
How different is it walking into a building where Peyton Manning is leading the show and then coming to work in the morning and Jay Cutler is the guy?
Well, you know, again, I'll go back to, you know, people forget that we had Kyle Long, Brady Quinn, and Tim Tebow. All right? When I walked in that building, I didn't have Peyton Manning.
Defensively, with the way that defense has performed recently, Coach, I mean, there's a number of ways it needs to improve. What would you put at the top of that list?
Well, I think offense or defense starts up front. And, you know, the mindset of, you know, stopping the run, running the ball. Obviously, I think the best pass defense in the world is a pass rush. There's no special coverage, otherwise everybody would run it. So it's just building that personnel-wise and then getting on the grass and coaching all the important techniques it takes to be good in those areas.
It's like, what do you think of the young tackles, Eagle Ferguson and Will Sutton, their draft picks last year?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I have a very minimal view or expose of what they can do.
But did you have like high regards on them coming out of the draft? Like
not didn't stand out quite as much maybe as Kyle Fuller, but. You know, they've been in the building. They've already started to work out. They've been down with our new strength and conditioning coaches. You know, so I've seen them passing through the building. Seems like a nice enough young guy, anxious to get on the field and actually practice.
When you look at the needs now, wherever the green rectangles
are,
and you look ahead to the draft, do you see a particular area of the team or area of need that your guys are going to go after at the draft, whether it's pass rush offensively or...
I mean, if I did, I don't think I'd share it here for everybody to see and know what our need board looks like. But, you know, we have more needs, and we still have plenty of people out there that are without jobs in the player pool in the NFL side, and then, you know, a lot of evaluations to do on the, you know, the college guys coming out. So, you know, that's all the fun part of this is putting it together.
What's your routine usually for pre-draft process in terms of how much – tape you watch, how involved are you?
Well, we
both,
haven't.
You do both sides of the ball?
Yes. We'll go into positional readings starting in April. Typically, we do the offense first. We go through, you know, every position, look at a lot of tape, and then we start the defense the following week. You know, we do the specialists, and then really fourth down experts, we call them. Then we do scenarios, then we have the draft.
Is it a process you like?
I mean, I think it's hard to be a good coach if you're not a good evaluator. I mean, how do you pick your own tape? All right. So, you know, I enjoy it. That's how I started in coaching. You know, in college coaching, you're the scout, you know, and the coach. And not even just your position. You know, you usually do it geographically, so you learn how to evaluate an offensive lineman, a running back, a quarterback, because that's your area. So, you know, you can say I grew up as a scout. I do enjoy the process.
What does Antrell
Foster
role?
Foster the type of linebacker that you're looking for on the
side? You know, he's a guy that I think I liked coming out. I haven't really, you know, obviously I evaluated him on his pro tape. But, you know, right now these guys that maybe didn't get the huge contracts in free agency, my experience is, you know, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. They got something to prove. And I've had a lot of pretty good one-year deal guys that have had great success. So, you know, he'll get a chance to prove that. We're building some competition at the linebacker position. So I'm looking forward to working with him.
Physically, how does he fit the scheme?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, like I said, I've never watched him practice with us or, you know, quote, in our scheme. But, you know, I'm looking forward to watching him compete and see what he can do for the Chicago Bears. You know, a guy obviously we felt, you know, strong about. I think we selected him in the second round. He pretty much started since his rookie year. You know, he's smart. He comes to work. He works hard. He's a pro, good teammate. So I think they'll be pleased with what they see when they start getting to work.
What can Antrell Roll provide for your defense at this stage in his career?
You know, again, I think he's been one of the more productive safeties in the league over the last few years. I think he understands the game. I think he plays the game fast. I think he understands how to prepare. You know, for NFL football games, I think that is contagious. I think when younger players see that model, you know, they help us as a football team.
How important was it to be aggressive, maybe, in free agency to address safety, like initially, to sign a guy right away?
Well, you know, again, not beating up guys we have, all right, but, you know, going in and looking at tape, seeing areas that maybe need an improvement, you know, it might just be doing it every day better, you know, and then you play better. But, you know, we thought that Antrell Roll would help that process.
John, a couple months in. Where does Shea McClellan fit? Is he inside and outside?
You know, I think we don't really know. I think the biggest success I saw in him was when he came out of Boise State was as a 3-4 outside backer. You know, it hasn't gone as well for him as far as position fit, in fairness to him. And that's not being judgmental on anybody else. But I think the transition, we're going to start him inside, all right, because it's a harder position to learn as far as run fits and how they set in there. You know, but he'll be both. So we don't really have a position per se exactly for him. A linebacker's a linebacker, and he'll get the opportunity to compete at both. But more than likely, we'll start him inside.
So were you high on his potential coming out of Boise State?
Yes.
Hey, John. So who you are as a coach now with Shea Platt, Chuck Noll, work on the
game? I'd say really a large part. You know, watching Chuck, unique vision of football, you know, what was important, the fundamentals, the even-keeled approach. You take with your teams, you know, really the kind of guy that could acquire knowledge. I mean, Chuck was a guy that, I don't know if you were an engineer and you met him somewhere socially, he'd know more about engineering the next time he met you than you did, all right? He had that kind of love for life and, you know, love for information. Great teacher. I mean, I hated to play golf with him because he'd be teaching me every swing. But he was tremendous. I mean, you know, in those areas, I think maybe the best ever.
Do you still hear you sayings, hear sayings?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Chuck was, you know, I'm probably a little more hyper than Chuck was by personality. But he was always very calming and had great wisdom, really, in all aspects of life. The guy I had tremendous respect for. Well, just, you know, that's what coaching is teaching. And when a player knows you can help him be better, you're going to put him in positions to have success, that they'll give you everything they have. And that's really all you can ask from any player is you get everything they have. And, you know, in most cases I tell players, hopefully that's good enough. In most cases it is.
John, 2 months, 3 months into your partnership with Ryan Pace, mm-hmm. What have you learned about him and style?
Very smart, great eye for talent. You know, I think tireless worker. I think, but first and foremost, I think humble, all right? You know, being able to be in that position and, you know, remain humble, I think is, you know, it's true of all of us, really, you know, with success and how we handle success. Again, events that how you respond to and, you know, I've been very, very impressed thus far.
You've obviously had a chance to work with different people in that role. Mm-hmm. How important is the ability to relate to others, given the scope of the responsibilities in that role?
Well, I think it's a huge part. You know, anytime you're in any kind of team game, and that's upstairs as well as downstairs, or that end of the building versus this end, you know, anytime you make decisions, not everybody's going to agree with them. You don't want everybody thinking the same way, otherwise you're getting dumber. So, you know, you come out arm in arm, and that's whether it's coaching, personnel, assistant coaches, head coach, offense coordinator, head coach, all those relationships. You know, this game's hard enough, you know, competing against who you compete against, that's the best in what they do in the world. So the more you're together, the better off you'll be.
How about getting to know the McCaskies, especially George, with his involvement, active involvement in the Ray McDonald signing?
It's been really exciting. Again, that's a relationship, you know, from, I know for me personally, you know, Mrs. McCaskey reminded me that our first meeting was in a dirty locker room. And she presented me with the Halas Trophy in Philadelphia Eagles locker room. So, you know, that's great recollection. You know, obviously something very important to her. But just to be in those hallowed grounds, getting to know the family has been a process again for me, been a lovely one, enjoyed it. This experience here at the owners' meeting has been, you know, a great time to be with people, you know, outside of the building, outside of work, socially. So it's been a lot of fun, and you know, one that I know we're motivated every day to bring, you know, the Bears and this family success.
John, just to go back to sort of the history of the Bears, when you become the head coach of the Chicago Bears, you know, does Dick Butkus pick up the phone and say, like, what are you going to do about the defense?
Well, I think, you know, again, you know, I kind of love defense too, and I look at it, and you know, it's in a vision, you know, for us as well. But yeah, I mean, I think we need to get better on defense.
But do you hear from the, you know, former Bears who are?
No, they weren't like in line calling me to tell me how bad we stink. All right, but you know, people that I do know, I like getting all personal conversations. But ex players, ex coaches, you know, it's a very small fraternity of people, so. You know, you build relationships with those people too, and they want to see you have success. Sometimes, you know, they might have recommendations.
John, was Brandon Marshall perceived as a problem by the Bears?
You know, again, I never really got to coach Brandon Marshall. You know, I followed him in Denver.
Just from maybe what you heard in the organization.
You know, I'm not going to get into all the personal conversations about people he had. As I mentioned earlier, I think it was a trade that worked out very well for both of us. You know, I think the world of Brandon myself and my two conversations with him, and wish him nothing but the best.
Can you talk at the introductory press conference about the time you missed Denver a couple years ago? Was that a house here? And the time away,
right?
How did that sharpen your perspective? How did it change you at all or impact you?
You know, it was like being injured. You know, I joked with guys in the locker room. I was back in the building 4 months, or 4 weeks post-op. I had a guy with an ankle when I left, and he still had the ankle when I got back. So it gave you a little street cred on injuries. On a serious note, I think really, you know, when you see the fear in your family, you know, I think it risked initially. Once they fixed the valve, I was actually 150% better. I did learn that technology is pretty amazing. I was sitting in my study in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I could watch practice from that day's practice that just concluded 5 minutes ago. So I was still very much involved, whether it been the opponent cut-ups or, you know, from a strategical standpoint as far as game planning, offense, defense, kicking game, I never missed a day of that game planning. So I think I learned technology is pretty amazing. And the lady came in to tell me, you know, I'm still in ICU, just got wires coming everywhere. We're going for a walk. I laughed at her, but it's amazing now, science and what they can do. And, but it did, it's life-changing a little bit when you see the fear on, you know, maybe your family's faces.
You fight the doctor sitting in the timetable, and yeah, obviously you're itched to get back.
Well, interesting, you know, the surgeon himself just said, you know, he looked at me right now, he says, you're 150% better. Obviously, there's some precautions, you know, from a I'm sure, legal standpoint. You know, we were kind of stuck on the 4 weeks, and they weren't going to let me come back any earlier than that. So, 4 weeks.
Jim, John, how comfortable are you that Alshon Jeffrey could be on?
You know, I really liked Alshon coming out. You know, what I've seen, he was a little nicked last year. I think, you know, one of the things I'd say that we had a lot of soft tissue injuries last year as a football team. We've kind of changed philosophically in the look of our weight room. You know, I think you'll see that we're going to do things a lot different from off-season conditioning, the approach, to, the load, how we handle that. We were pretty blessed that I don't think we had a soft tissue injury a year ago in Denver, albeit by one particular guy. I think he didn't miss it. He did. Yeah. I'm not going into that. But he didn't miss any time on the field. But anyways, so I think that'll help him. I think there's been times in his career where he might have been a little overweight.